WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the White House, President Trump criticized Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, renewing his calls for Powell to lower interest rates. The president also says he talked in concept of firing Powell with Republicans, but says it's highly unlikely he'll fire him.
I talked about the concept of firing him. I said, what do you think? Almost every one of them said I should. But I'm more conservative than they are.
President Trump nominated Powell during his first term in the White House. President Biden kept Powell as chair for another four-year term. The House taking up a cryptocurrency package again a day after 12 Republicans joined Democrats to block the spending measures from advancing to the floor. More than 100 wildfires are burning in the U.S., two of them in Arizona near the Grand Canyon. Some rain helping fire crews today, but both fires are still 0% contained. And in the Gulf, a tropical storm could develop in the next 48 hours, targeting the Gulf Coast. This is ABC News.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin residents will begin seeing higher fees for vehicle title transfers and driver's license renewals this fall. The additional fees were included in the new biennial state budget, which Governor Tony Evers hopes will generate nearly $200 million in additional revenue for future transportation spending. The vehicle title fee will increase from $157 to $207. License renewal fees will increase from $24 to $32.50. The fee changes will officially go into effect on October 1st. A proposed bill to make the monarch butterfly the official state butterfly has been introduced in the Wisconsin State Legislature. The monarch butterfly was classified as endangered in 2022 following a population drop of over 95% over the last 40 years. Climate change, habitat loss, and pesticide use were cited as contributing factors in the population decline. The hope is that officially designating the monarch butterfly as the state butterfly will promote greater awareness of its endangered status and support for protection and habitat conservation efforts. The Washburn County Zoning Committee will allow a teen to reopen his roadside bait shop near Spooner Lake following a special meeting. The roadside bait shop had initially been shut down after the zoning department determined that it was not permitted under current regulations. The decision led to significant pushback from community members who applauded the teen for his entrepreneurial spirit and initiative. The zoning committee voted not to pursue enforcement action and evaluate the relevance of the state's lemonade stand law for the bait shop. Sawyer County Outdoor Projects and Education is inviting area residents to a hunter education course in Hayward next week. Interested residents must attend four class sessions to graduate, and the classes will cover things like firearm handling and general safety. They will be held at Hayward Middle School from around 5:30 to 8:30 on July 22nd, 24th, and 29th, as well as a morning class on July 26th at the Hayward Rod and Gun Club from 8 a.m. to noon. Interested residents can sign up for the courses through the Department of Natural Resources Go Wild portal. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The National League gets the victory. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the All-Star game ended in a win for the National League. The NL jumped out to a 6-0 lead. The American League came back, down 6-4 in the ninth to tie the game up. And so for the first time, they had a swing-off, a mini home run derby. And the Phillies' Kyle Schwarber responded going 3-for-3 home runs on Fox Sports.
The swing off.
Later, Schwarber named the game's MVP, Brewers rookie Jacob Mizorowski. The Miz pitched in the eighth inning, allowing just one hit and retiring three other batters. And Milwaukee's Trevor McGill also making an appearance, retiring the batter he faced to end the seventh inning. NBA, the Bucks wrapping up their summer league schedule in Las Vegas. They'll take on the Chicago Bulls. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Damp and dreary today, with more showers and storms expected. And the possibility continues into tonight, too. Much, much cooler out there. Highs only scrape the upper 60s. And tomorrow, stay stuck to the low 70s. But with plenty of sunshine out there, it'll make for a refreshing day. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 61.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our road trip continues. Matt Nair on air and Todd Alba broadcasting live from the Fanatical Fish Gallery in Butternut. Absolutely join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
On location, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board at the World Headquarters. We are on location here at the EAA Museum in beautiful Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Welcome into hour number two, everyone. It is the 16th of July. It is Wednesday. That means it's
Hump Day.
That's right. We have transported the camel all the way from Madison to Oshkosh via an airlift. Not a cheap ticket, but we got him here. So glad to have you along. Thank you to everyone who made the first hour of the show so fantastic. Getting ready here for hour number two of the program. In just a little while, we're going to be talking to Ren Scott, who is Vice President of Business Development and Events here at EAA at the museum. We're going to play a little What's Worse, and also standing by here in the wings, we have Chris Henry, the museum manager, who is overseeing this fine facility that we have the absolute honor and privilege of broadcasting from today. But Trigvy, before we get back to the show, I want to bring people, our listeners, some very important weather information at this hour, particularly our listeners on WRCE in Richland Center and WMDX in Madison. We have a tornado warning in effect until 3:30 this afternoon for parts of Columbia and Sauk County. Again, for Columbia, particularly for Central Columbia County, until 3:30 this afternoon. Right now, it looks like areas included that will be impacted by the storm include Portage, Lake Wisconsin, Merrimack, and Interstate 90-94 Exchange. Why do I say Richland Center, RCE, and Madison, WMDX? Because those are our two closest stations right now to this warning area. People might be driving in that direction. Certainly, if you're going to be going anywhere near that Interstate Exchange, please do not go there. If you're not there already, pull over, take shelter. If you're in a car, if you're in the path of this storm, go to the lowest level of your building. And if you don't have a basement, get into an interior room such as a bathroom and make sure that you cover up. Again, a tornado warning remains in effect until 3:30 this afternoon for Central Columbia County. Now, for the rest of the state, draw a line from Green Bay basically across over to Stevens Point and then down to La Crosse. Everything south of that line in the state of Wisconsin is under a tornado watch, which means conditions are right for a tornado until 6 p.m. This afternoon or tonight, so at 6 o'clock. Just getting some brand new information in here as we're talking here. Looks like now the National Weather Service has issued a tornado warning for Fond du Lac and Dodge counties until 3:30 as well. So this would affect listeners right where, potentially listeners WISS here in Oshkosh that might be listening in. Again, now the National Weather Service issuing a tornado warning for Fond du Lac and Dodge counties until 3:30 this afternoon. Southwestern Dane County and West Central Jefferson County could also be, that's an earlier storm, pardon me. So repeat the latest announcement we have, the National Weather Service issuing a tornado warning for Fond du Lac and Dodge counties until 3:30 this afternoon. The watch remains in effect for the southern part of the state until 6 o'clock. We'll continue to update that. Busy day here. Let's try to get this in. It's 10 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money giveaway. Nothing involved in terms of cash value, but it is your chance to have your voice heard across all 11 stations on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is a good one, appropriate. Our writer CP has done himself well this week with all of our What's Worses. Today is What's Worse, fear of flying or fear of heights? Fear of flying or fear of heights? If you'd like to weigh in on this all-important question on the lighter side, give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or you can text us on the Civic Media app or put it in the comment section as well. What's worse, fear of flying or a fear of heights? Trigby Olson, you want a quick answer before we get to our guest?
Fear of heights, Todd, by
really?
Far. Right. I'm terrified of heights.
I didn't know that about you necessarily.
Oh, my God. Open heights like that guy. Once we were at Zion National Park or like when we went to the Grand Canyon, I'm just terrified. And watching like my kids get up along the rim.
Oh, yeah.
In fact,
other
we
people,
were hiking.
Other people? Oh
I quit.
Gosh.
I quit.
Right.
I got so freaked out.
That's it. All right, we'll continue to text, call in. We'll take our take some answers here a little bit later. What's worse, fear of flying or fear of heights? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Now joining Trigby and I here at the desk here at the EAA Museum, he is the manager. In other words, the guy who said, yes, let that crazy guy off. Matt Nair was fine. They said if Jane, Matt Nair, and Greg want to come in the morning, we're fine with that. But we actually had to pay him in order. No, I'm just kidding. he is Chris Henry. He is the museum manager here at the EAA Museum. Chris, welcome to the show. Thanks for letting us do this.
Oh, man, this is awesome. Thank you guys for being here. And we just, we're having a great time with you all. Love to see you interviewing most of our EAA family here. And we just thought it'd be a fun thing for you guys to get to see a little bit of the set up behind the curtain of AirVenture. So
we're having a great time. It couldn't, and again, for those watching on the stream, maybe people can hear us on the radio. Lots of activity going on. There are some beautiful planes for Jane and Greg's show in here earlier on the ground. You can see a couple suspended from the rafters if you're watching on the stream right now. But Chris, tell us what's going on here, the activity. What's this about?
What you're seeing in this hangar is we're prepping for our gathering of eagles. This is a big fundraising event for the organization, and this truly gives us the horsepower we need to go out and do the mission the rest of the year. People like Margaret Brill and our wonderful foundation team spearhead it, and this is where our wonderful donors will gather for the event Thursday night of the event. So a lot of prep work that goes into it that you know, you don't see. If you come back here on Thursday, you wouldn't even be able to tell this is what we have here normally. But normally, this is our Eagle Hangar, which is our hangar part of the museum that's dedicated to military aircraft. So we're spanning everything from World War One to Vietnam, and we're looking at what's down the road for, like, Gulf War and things like that.
Wow, absolutely incredible. Let's go where we went with our other guests today, because I think people watching and listening across the state, they're interested to know who we're talking to. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and how you kind of got into aviation and in your current gig.
Absolutely. I'm born and raised in Pittsburgh. Like I said before, I got my Aaron Rodgers jersey all ready for the season. So I'm sure we'll get some comments there.
Trick me as a Packers owner.
Yeah, exactly. But I was born and raised in Pittsburgh. My dad was a steelworker, with that came a lot of blue collar pride, very similar to the Green Bay, I think, community, and something we're, you know, very proud of. I wanted to be a construction worker until my uncle took me to see a movie. He told my mom that he was taking me to see a Disney movie, and instead he took me to Top Gun when I was just 6 years old.
Yes, what a great uncle.
Oh, he's awesome. He's an awesome uncle. And that really ruined me. I mean, all I wanted to do was be around airplanes. I didn't know what, but I wanted to be around them. Went to college for air traffic control. Really? Along the way, I worked ramp control for the airlines and was a medical helicopter dispatcher back in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And then got hired to be an air traffic controller. Did that for years. And then came here almost 13 years ago, and I've never looked back. I came here on a guy's trip in 1996 for my first time. I was 16 with a bunch of buddies, mm-hmm. and I was just like, man, this is it. One day I want to work here, and I am. It's something very special.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. Talk to us, and, you know, again, when we go to other places, we view it as you've invited us into our living room. We like to respect whether it's you or anybody else we go to.
Sure.
And we don't get too far down the road into the partisan politics when we do this.
Sure.
But obviously, air traffic controllers have been in the news a lot. There have been some unfortunate tragedies, particularly where Trivia's at out in D.C. Yeah. As someone who went through this as an air traffic controller, what are your thoughts on this? It might sound like a dumb question, but the people are saying, is it still safe to fly? What are your thoughts on this?
Our air traffic control industry is the best one in the world. Those air traffic controllers that work it take their job seriously. And I can tell you that not one of them goes into that tower that day without thinking that they're the best there is. And accidents happen. You know, luckily in our country, they don't happen very often. But unfortunately, when they do, you know, they're headline news. The D.C. one was... you know, there's nothing nice about it. That was an unfortunate tragedy, but it is still very safe to fly. I'd get on an airplane right now if you enticed me with a cold drink and a beach somewhere.
Right.
For anybody who's maybe worried about flying, it is absolutely the safe. And we have the best, you know, we have the best network in the world for aviation. So, we're in a good place. Could it use some tweaking and fixing? It does.
Sure.
Not, you know. You should always be looking at how to go ahead and go forward and fix what you know, what fixes need. But no, those are great people that work in those towers.
Talking with Chris Henry, he is the museum director here at the EAA Museum in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Trigvi?
Yeah, talk a little bit about some of the planes that you have there. What's your favorites?
Boy, that's a tough one. It's like someone asking me, like, you know, what's your favorite kid?
Right.
You know, the ones that I've gotten a chance to maybe work on or enhance, I think, become your favorites. We're sitting next to a Huey from Vietnam. I was part of the crew that worked to receive this aircraft. I've become very tight with the veterans who flew this one in combat. Mm-hmm. Ours is a three-tour combat vet. It actually has the battle scars and patches and stuff on it.
Yeah.
Our Corsair was flown by Tom Hudner, our F4U, World War II plane. If you remember Black Sheep Squadron with Robert Conrad, same type of airplane, except ours flew in Korea and was flown by a Medal of Honor recipient who crash-landed his plane on purpose to try to save his wingman, Jesse Brown, who had gone down on December 4th, 1950. These guys, Jesse Brown was our country's first black naval aviator. Tom Hudner was a white pilot who'd gone to the Navy Academy. At this time, those two guys couldn't drink from the same water fountain, and here they are half a world away, and they're risking their lives for each other behind enemy lines.
Wow.
That says something about the character of both of those guys, and we're honored that we have an airplane that was flown by Hudner, we have that one restored as it appeared on the USS Leyte in 1951.
But if I could just stop here, we got about a minute and a half here, but we'll come back and talk after we after do a little business.
Yeah.
But how many times, if you look at history, particularly the military, do we find that the military was ahead of where the rest of this country was in terms of race relations? I don't care what color your skin is, I want you to have my six when I'm out in the battlefield.
Well, and very much so. They were usually the ones who I think were the tip of the sword on breaking those barriers. And for not just people of color, but for women, the WASP program, where women were allowed to fly high-powered military aircraft. I mean, that was another one during World War II. During World War II, it's important to know that everybody fought World War II. Kids had receptacles where they could take their toys and recycle them to be made into ordnance. I mean, it was literally there wasn't anybody who didn't fight that war. And Korea, Vietnam, same thing.
And it's part of what I think culturally bound our country together and made that truly the greatest generation. But to your point, everybody at some level was involved.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. There, you know, talk to anybody alive during World War II, and they'll all tell you, I mean, that was, which is getting harder and harder to do, but they all had a part in it.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to come back and chat more with Chris Henry. He is the program of the museum manager, pardon me, here at the EAA Museum in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And we'll catch up on what's worse, the fear of heights or the fear of flying. We know where Trigby stands. Keep his feet on the ground. No high heights. Come on back. It's the All Ball Show on location, Oshkosh, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for matinee on air.
Why'd I go to the doctor? My heart would race just taking my son to practice. It didn't feel right. So I got checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped 4 seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location at the EAA Museum in beautiful Oshkosh, Wisconsin. 22 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. A busy day here on the All Ball Show, not just with our great guests. Going to get back to that in a minute. But weather, and we do need to keep you abreast of that. Some strong storms moving into central parts of Wisconsin. A line of storms right now. We have a number of tornado warnings. This means that a tornado has either been spotted on the ground by a train spotter or via radar. Right now, there is a tornado warning in effect for until 3:30 for southwestern Fond du Lac and north central Dodge County. Tornado warning until 3:30 for southwestern Fond du Lac and north central Dodge counties. Also, we have a tornado warning in effect until 3:45 this afternoon for south central Washara County in central Wisconsin. Also have a tornado warning in effect until 3:45 for north central Columbia County, north central Wisconsin, Marquette County as well. So Columbia and Marquette County, also a tornado warning in effect until 3:45 this afternoon. And set to expire in about 10 minutes, a tornado warning remaining in effect for parts of central Columbia County until 3:30 this afternoon. Basically, if you take a line It goes from just north of DeForest, from Portage, up through Monticello, up to Wautoma, Red Granite, that whole area in there. And then everything east of that, that is where people need to take shelter, lowest level of a building. If you don't have a basement, get to an interior room. If you're driving and encounter these storms, best thing to do, pull over if you can safely, get out and lay in a low-lying ditch. Also, for close to Waupun, the city of Waupun is in one of these tornado warnings as well, and that is moving towards Fond du Lac. And yes, folks, right where we're at as well here in the Eagle Hangar at the EAA Museum. So we'll keep you up to date on that. Just want to make sure we're giving all of our listeners the information and a tornado watch in effect for central and southern Wisconsin until 6 p.m. today. Trent V. Olson out in our nation's capital joining us on Wednesday per usual. I want to get to more with our guest here at the desk. He is Chris Henry, the museum manager here at the EAA Museum. Chris, Trigby was asking you during the break. In fact, Trigby, why don't you follow up on a couple of questions about the planes, because this is one of your things you're really passionate about.
Yeah, I was just asking about the Flying Fortress, and you were telling a little bit about the Flying Fortress that you have.
We do. We have a B-17 Flying Fortress. Ours is named Aluminum Overcast. And really, it has been an absolute honor to get to work near that aircraft. It's one of, only about 50 airframes left of that type. Meanwhile, they built just shy of 13,000 of them. But that's what it took to really beat the German and Japanese forces into surrendering. The 8th Air Force was the big operator for the B-17. And they were the spearhead of the American daylight bombing campaign over Europe. So if you've seen the most recent miniseries, Masters of the Air, that really is a good example in getting that good idea what it was like for those guys. But truly amazing guys. I mean, average age of the gunners in the back were 19. Pilots were 21, 22 years old. I mean, that just incredible when you think about what we asked these young guys to do.
Talk to us a little bit, if we could, Chris, about who comes here? Is it school groups? Are they people coming, aside from these 2 weeks when you get people over the world, but in a general day when it's not the EAA event, who comes here? How much does it cost?
Absolutely. So right now it's a $15 admission. If you're a member, you're free. And we have pricing for school groups, families, and things like that. And if you're an EA, again, if you're an EA member or family member, it's free. I always tell everybody, if you're going to come more than once in a year, you should probably just join, especially if you're a family. Mm-hmm. We're the Fox Valley's really Air and Space Museum. Everybody's always welcome, and we really are proud to bring the history of flight, the history of airspace or air and space, hopefully to people's doorsteps. I think it's interesting when you start talking about, you think about an astronaut. You're like, well, I can never be an astronaut. Mm-hmm. But when you start breaking down their background, where they were football players in high school first, and then, they played the trombone, and suddenly it's like, well, oh, gee, they were kind of like me, and maybe I can work in the space program or something like that. It's very important for people to hear that. So the people that visit us, all walks of life, EA members, visitors from other countries, there are people that just have always wanted to hit this museum. And then there's the local community, school groups with our education team. It's fascinating. We get, right in the neighborhood of about 100,000 visitors a year here. Now, granted, about 40,000 of those are coming next year or next week. So,
Well, like I said earlier on the show, I have two godsons, and my youngest godson graduated UW-Madison with mechanical engineering aerospace, but he came up here a couple times. Talked to NASA when they were here, and ended up, he works for the Department of Defense out in Bremerton doing ships and submarines. But the premise of aerospace, he worked in, is it vibrations or whatever it's called, And so I think kids, young people that come here, they might discover their path forward by simply coming to the event or to the museum.
You're absolutely right. I have seen people that come in here not knowing what they want to do, and this is their first sort of taste of like, wow, maybe airplanes are for me, maybe a career in aviation. It doesn't have to be a pilot either. I mean, there's a lot of people that are thinking like, well, maybe I want to be a mechanic or, air traffic controller or anything. I mean, and I think it's our duty to make sure that, A, we let people know that there's an avenue that's open to them. What's those next steps forward? What do you do when you come here and you're interested in it? How do I get involved? And then also the history of it. Here's the people who came before you, who fought that good fight so that you have the freedom to do it today. So that's kind of what we try to educate everybody on here.
If people want more information, is there a website they could go to?
Absolutely. EA.org/museum will take you to the museum. But EA.org will get you into our organization and at least let you know what avenues are open to you. If you're a young person thinking about maybe you want to fly, I mean, the Young Eagles program is fantastic. If you're not in the Oshkosh area, we have chapters all over the country and that you can join. Wonderful people that give up their time to get young people involved in aviation.
Chris Henry, the museum manager, thank you so much for allowing us to do this, and thanks for all you do.
Hey, absolutely. Thank you guys for being here.
You're part of what makes Wisconsin great. Trigby, thank you very much. We'll see you next week, my friend.
Welcome.
Be safe out there. All right, thank you very much. Come on back. Talk more here from the EAA in Oshkosh after this. Stay tuned. It's the All Ball Show live on location and Oshkosh on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Something to keep an eye on, a potential 50% tariff on Brazilian imports that could trickle down to the consumer buying ground beef. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Wednesday, and we're talking about it with market advisor John Heinberg. John joins us from Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He tells us how potential tariffs on Brazilian cattle could impact the price you pay for those hamburgers on the grill.
Now, where does Brazilian beef typically go? It goes into our ground beef supplies and helps keep those costs down there just with the lower quality of beef that comes out of Brazil. So that's going to be something to kind of watch here as we go forward in terms of what could happen in the consumer and ground beef and things of that nature. If that was something that came into play and lasted for a while, that could really kind of bump up that potential prices on ground beef just because of that lack of supply of U.S. cattle and then maybe limiting or adding cost to those imports.
A 50% tariff on Brazilian cattle exports to the United States would begin August 1st. John Heinberg joining us today. He's a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Stick around. We'll take a look at closing markets next.
Jan is a single mom with two growing kids. She's working two jobs to make ends meet and gets home just in time to tuck them in for bed.
Mommy, I'm hungry.
In every community, people are working, yet over 47 million people face hunger. You can help. The National Association of Farm Broadcasting invites you to help people facing hunger, including one out of every five children. Your donation stays in your community. Go to nafbhunger.com and help end hunger.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp. Cleary Building Corp. Built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
On the close Wednesday from Chicago, we saw a lift in prices across the board. Cash corn up 4 cents at 405 1/4. December new crop corn up 4 1/4 at 424 a bushel. Cash beans closed 18.5 cents higher at 1013.5. November new crop beans up 18 3/4 at 1020.5. New crop wheat closed 3 1/4 cents higher at 541 1/4. Fluid milk also saw a rally. The August Class 3 milk contract is up 32 cents at 1754 a hundredweight. The September contract up 21 cents at 1822. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese. Cheese did not follow suit, but the 40-pound block cheese did close unchanged at $1.62.5. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Damp and dreary today with more showers and storms expected. And the possibility continues into tonight too. Much, much cooler out there. Highs only scrape the upper 60s. And tomorrow, stay stuck to the low 70s. But with plenty of sunshine out there, it'll make for a refreshing day. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Right now, it's 62 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens. And then the legendary and one and only Frank Hermans of Let Me Be Frank Productions performs in the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Title Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. We are live on location in beautiful Oshkosh, Wisconsin at the EAA Museum. I'm going to get back to the matters at hand at the museum in just a minute. But it is a busy day in our weather office here and want to make sure that for folks traveling or listening to various stations across the state, we get you up to speed on what's happening in the weather. Very general terms, take Stevens Point, Wisconsin, and central Wisconsin, and draw a line almost down to the state line, and that is this large line of storms that's moving to the east right now, and there are several tornado warnings in effect. I want to bring those to you at this time, particularly for our listeners in WISS here in Oshkosh. The first one, the closest to Oshkosh right now, a tornado warning, meaning a tornado is either on the ground as identified by a trained spotter or has been indicated by weather radar. A tornado warning in effect right now for western Fond du Lac County until 4 p.m. Tornado warning Fond du Lac County until 4 p.m. just south of the Oshkosh area for our listeners on WISS. Also, a tornado warning for southern Dodge County until 4 p.m. Southern Dodge County until 4 p.m. Think of Horicon area, Mayville area, Lomira area. You are in effect for that. Another tornado warning in effect for southern, southeastern Columbia County and northeastern Dane County. That in effect until 4 p.m. Think of Columbus. Think of Beaver Dam. You folks need to take cover immediately. A tornado warning in effect until 4 p.m. for northeastern Dodge County, also northwestern Dodge County. So Columbia, Dodge County until 4 p.m. a tornado warning. Also a tornado warning in effect until 3:45 for Marquette County. Think of Monticello and just to the east of that Princeton area. Those folks need to take cover immediately as well. Also a flash flood warning now for parts of Washora County. Think of Wautoma, Wild Rose, and Red Granite area. These are very dangerous storms. If you are in one of the counties that I mentioned, seek shelter immediately in the lowest level of a building. If you don't have a basement, go to an interior room. Think of a bathroom and then cover up. If you're driving, don't try to drive through these storms. If you're able, pull over safely, get to a low-lying ditch, and ride out the storm there. Our great weather team will continue to update you, but these storms are going to be moving through the state of Wisconsin. A tornado watch in effect from Green Bay over to Stevens Point, down to the state line, and over to Lake Michigan, includes WAUK in our area as well, WGBW in Green Bay. That's a tornado watch until 6 p.m., meaning conditions are right for a tornado. All right, I think we have the weather out of the way now. Joining me at the desk, who kicked off this great tour this morning here at the EAA from 9 until 11, their great program, Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach. Thanks for joining me, guys.
It is delightful to be here. And just to back up what you were saying, this is a huge line of storms. Please, please, please don't ignore this. Don't blow it off. Don't say, take your phone, take your whatever, go in the basement, be good, all right? That's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Absolutely. And Greg, you got a new hat.
I did. I got
went shopping.
I went shopping in the EAA boutique, and I got myself a very nice cap, and I'll be showing it off for the rest of the time on our tour this week.
You look fantastic.
It also shows what a gigantic melon I have, because I'm on the last snap of this hat, so clearly my brain needs to lose weight.
Well, you guys did a great job this morning in your show, and we're going to continue that now and talk to these great folks on the EAA. I mean, I've learned so much, you guys.
Oh, yes.
Just being for your show and ours.
Absolutely. The scholarship program, I think, is so impressive, and the whole Young Eagles program. And we also learned a lot. I know I learned about the different areas of aviation that are available for people to get into. Not everybody's a pilot.
Right.
Not everybody's coming out to be a pilot.
Yeah.
And so, but there are still wonderful ways to get involved and all of the volunteering too. It's such a whole community. It's such a whole family and history. It's marvelous.
It really is. We're going to talk more with Jade and Greg in a minute, and they're going to join me in speaking with our next guest, joining us here live at the table, the EAA Museum in the Eagle Hangar. He is the Vice President of Business Development and Events, Ren Scott. Ren, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me today.
It's our pleasure to really be here and participate in this. Let's start out. Tell folks a little bit about yourself and how you got into the aviation area.
Sure. So, long story. I started into the aviation world when I was a teenager. I actually started flying when I was 15 years old, soloed when I was 16 years old, went to college for aviation, got my license there, kind of following in the footsteps of my grandfather, who was a World War II fighter pilot, flying some of the airplanes
that we
see behind us. So,
I'm
originally from Virginia. Went to school in Virginia, and then my wife is from the Green Bay area. So when we had the opportunity to make a move to Wisconsin, kind of jumped all over it. And then the opportunity here at EAA opened up, and it's such a natural fit. And I'm back into aviation, which is great.
So your job, tell folks what your job is next 2 weeks during the actual major event, and then what you do the rest of the year.
Sure. So my teams consist of the business development teams and the food and beverage and events teams. And the business development team focuses on supporting our sponsors, our advertisers, and our exhibitors. And just to kind of give you an idea of what kind of numbers we're talking about, exhibitors at AirVenture, we have over 860 exhibitors on grounds during the event. Over 120 different sponsors, and then advertisers that are putting ads in everything from daily newspapers to monthly magazines to websites to mobile apps to you name it. The food and beverage team manages and oversees all food that's on the ground. So that's everybody from your local barbecue place to your chain restaurants that you see out on grounds, and also working to make sure that any events that are going on throughout the week that are hosted by, let's say, a company like Boeing or somebody else that you may know or recognize the name of is hosting, kind of working behind the scenes to make sure that those go off without a hitch.
I'll tell you right now, Jane, Greg, and I like ourselves in Wisconsin food and beverage.
Yeah.
So I think we've hit the right guy.
Yeah.
Right.
There's no question.
I don't know much about planes, but when it comes to food and or beverages, I can help.
Right? So I'm curious about this. What's kind of the most popular food and beverage during the EAA big show?
Yep.
And what's new this year?
Sure. So one of the more popular items is probably a chain restaurant that we all know, and that's Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is here. So we have folks, the brands that you might recognize, A&W, we have Papa John's, we have a lot of those type of restaurants. But then we also have a lot of local, more Wisconsin type food options as well. There's actually a taco cheese curd truck that's out
what?
On the ground.
Whoa. So.
Yes, there should be. It's only right.
What? Taco cheese curd?
Yeah, it's something you'll have to try. And then we have local restaurants, local breweries, local bars and restaurants that are here on site. And It's a welcome it's a welcome thing for all when they're visiting.
Well, and I just think of the amount of obviously for your exhibitors and everybody, you have such an opportunity to touch so many people and interact with such an enormous cross section of people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's why we try to vary the variety of flavors out on the ground. So it's everything from a cheesesteak in Philly to you know, the cheese curd tacos and burgers and everything else in between. So there's a lot of feel good food and a lot of, hey, I know that brand food.
Yeah. Along with Jay Matinair and Greg Bach from Matinair On Air, speaking with Ren Scott, Vice President of Business Development and Events here at the AAA on location here in Oshkosh. Talk to us a little bit, Ren, about the business side of it, because these things don't happen without somebody financing it. So are you in charge of the corporate connections and basically selling this for donations as well?
Yeah, so not donations, but
investment sponsorships.
Yeah, sponsorships, advertising, and exhibits is the business side of it that our team handles. So that's working with companies to bring in the dollars to support not only the museum that we're in, AirVenture, but more importantly, the programming that EAA offers. Like you mentioned, the Young Eagles program, or the youth education program, like Aero Educate. So our team is actively working with each one of these customers. Like I said, you know, 860 exhibitors, over 120 sponsors, and many more advertisers to find the right fit for them within the organization to help promote their message. So that could be anything from putting their name on the side of a hanger to running an ad in our monthly magazine to sponsoring, you know, an event or a platform here at AirVenture. There's also year-round opportunities that we sell. Aero Educate's a great one. So we sell, our team sells sponsorships for that program to help keep it going.
I think it's fantastic. I really do. And again, it takes there. You also have events during the other parts of the year, though, which I also think are important.
Yeah.
And we're only looking for what you can see. You're only seeing half of the museum. There's a whole other half that is spectacular. So what other kinds of events do you host here? And do you put them in here? Or do you put them, where do you put them?
Yeah, yes to both. So we host a variety of events here throughout the year, everything from the farm show to the RV and boat show to we have a lot of space here and it's a good venue for those large type of shows. Then inside of the museum we host programming year round, so things like Christmas in the Air, which is it's a free program, a free event for the community. We have Santa Claus come in on a helicopter right out front.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yep, Santa Claus comes in on a helicopter, there's milk and cookies and activities for the kids, and the whole museum is decorated. It's a really great event. So that's just a small sample of what we do here throughout the rest of the year. But the majority of what EAA is doing on a year-round basis is supporting our local chapters that are out, 900 plus of them throughout the country and internationally, as they put on programming like Young Eagle flights, and then also supporting programming in-house as well.
So do you focus most of your time on the events here in Oshkosh, or are they also divided up your time in terms of supporting those other EAA chapters across Wisconsin and the country?
Yeah, so my team does focus on the events here based out of Oshkosh, and then there's a whole other department that focuses on supporting our local chapters throughout the country.
Greg?
Is there anything during next week's event that, you know, aside from all the jobs you must do, they're very important, you have two phones. What are you looking forward to mostly next week, what's going to be happening as far as events or talks or anything like that?
Yeah, it's a great question. It, you know, it's really hard to pinpoint one terrific thing throughout the week. I mean, there's such a variety of really exciting things that go on, everything from fighter jets that are coming in to old World War II bombers to two Goodyear blimps this year.
Oh, wow.
Blimp is here this year.
There you go.
Two of them. but one thing that I would point is probably the most impactful thing, or one of the most impactful things that we do, is we host the Old Glory Yellow Ribbon Honor Flight out of Oshkosh on Friday, the 25th. And so what that is it gives Vietnam veterans the chance to board the aircraft here at AirVenture, head out to DC for the day for the monuments and museums. And then when they come back in, they're welcomed with a water cannon salute. Yeah. The army band is playing the whole nine yards. It's really great.
That must be astonishing.
It is.
We'll be back right after this on the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. We're all seeing the smoke, but what exactly is causing all the fires in Canada? Turns out the 5,000-year-old forest stretching across the country doesn't get as much snow cover in the spring as it used to and is experiencing warmer, drier summers because of climate change, making wildfire season much more severe. Canada's boreal forest is the largest intact forest in the world. If you're in the market for new insulation, energy-efficient appliances, heating and cooling upgrades, now is definitely the time. The new mega budget signed into law earlier this month means federal incentives to help families save energy are about to go away. But Wisconsin's program still has federal funding available. Head to focusonenergy.com and click on IRA home energy rebates for more. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Folks just deserve a little bit better than the usual promises that they're getting. But our members of Congress, two of them from here in Wisconsin, recently signed a letter to Canada and said, Canada, you're on fire. You need to do something about this, which is really not necessarily the best course of action when your neighbor's house is burning down is to send a letter complaining about the smoke.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.5 WLAK.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC, CBS, and James Kelly News, depending upon which of our great stations you listen to across the Civic Media Radio Network, followed by a check of weather, sports with a great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, and then another edition of the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon from 4 until 6, followed by our friend and colleague Pete Schwabba and Nightlight with Conrad as well. Going to be a wonderful afternoon here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Before we wrap this up, bring Jane and Greg back in again. Really some really important weather information we want to pass on to folks across the state of Wisconsin. If you're looking at weather radar right now, there is a line of storms that goes from north, basically, of Antigo and Highway 8, almost all the way down to the state line with Illinois, just around the Madison area. All of these storms are moving about 35, 40 miles per hour to the east. Several of these storms have caused severe weather, and I'm going to run down the list of tornado warnings at this time. If you are in one of these areas, you need to seek shelter immediately at the lowest level of your building or in the interior room of a building. And if you encounter it on the road, do not drive through it. Try to pull over and get to a low-lying ditch. Right now, we have a tornado warning. A warning means a tornado has been spotted by a trained spotter on the ground or indicated by weather radar. This is a tornado warning right now for expire here in the Horicon and Mayville area right now. So that one is just expiring as we are wrapping things up here. Do another 5 minutes. 4 o'clock tornado warning expiring for Fond du Lac, western Fond du Lac County here in Wisconsin. Areas of this storm include Waupun, Oakfield, Rosendale, Alto, Oak Creek as well. Those areas a tornado warning until 4 p.m. Also, this is a flash flood warning for western Washara County and two other tornado warnings. Again, tornado warnings for parts of southeastern Columbia and west central Dodge counties until 4 p.m. So if you're in the Columbus, Beaver Dam area, also Waupun area, think of Cambria, think of Randolph, those areas under a tornado warning right now until 4 o'clock. I think I said Waupun as well. So these storms are not anything to joke around about, folks. So as Jane was saying earlier, best just to seek shelter.
Yeah, please don't mess around. Don't think this is nothing and this happens every year. Please don't. We don't want this to be the one time when you decide not to go for safety and you need it.
Right.
So go to your basement, go to the bathroom, keep your phone, grab a radio if you still have one. It's a small box. Anyway, take your phone and listen on the app, and please take this seriously.
If there's any good news, guys, it's that it appears the National Weather Service, as this line of storms is moving from central Wisconsin through eastern Wisconsin, as it goes through these areas, they are canceling the tornado watches that were in effect until 6 p.m. So it appears that once this line moves through,
it's weakening a little bit.
Probably good. The severe stuff, it looks like, will be done for the night. But so, basically from Stevens Point, Madison, and everything east of that, still a tornado watch in effect for everyone until 6 p.m. tonight. Jane and Greg, I think we're going to hunker out here for a little while.
We live here now.
With food and beverage before we get on the road to Butternut.
Yeah, no doubt. Yes, it is pouring here in Oshkosh, and we do have some things to pack up.
Yeah.
As mobile as we are. And we'll get packed up and we'll hit the road once things calm down a little bit. I'm old. I don't like to drive in weather like this. I don't. But I don't. I don't feel comfortable.
We're gonna hang out here for a while.
Vision is bad. It's hard to see. Turn your lights on if you're driving.
Right. We got to get Jane back in her Mercedes.
She also would like you to get off her lawn and turn down your rock and roll music, as you're just getting on her nerves now.
Just
not in my backyard.
Just, yes.
I don't know about the rest of you. I'm not going anywhere until I find this cheese curd taco.
My sister, our unofficial on-site producer here in the summer up in the Chippewa Valley, she says the taco cheese curd truck was at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair last year. You tried that last year, Todd. Mike ate one this year. Yeah, Kreitler, I had one last year.
Is it really heavy?
It's
cheese curd in a shell?
It's cheese curds in a shell, and then they deep fry all of that.
Yeah. Wow.
It's
Bridget, I loved you. I loved you so much. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Tell the dog I miss you.
Yeah, tell the dog I'm so sorry.
But isn't that one of the great, as we tour around the state, we encounter all these things that I don't know. We get too caught up, in my opinion, of the important news, which we both, all three of us do.
Yes.
But I think it's also just appropriate to say, let's have a little bit of fun and joy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I think it is important to our well-being to be able to take a breath and take a moment and enjoy life a little bit. I do, even with everything else that's going on, and not trying to discount that at all. Mm-hmm. But joy is breath.
Yeah, you gotta take some time. And I want to imagine there are people out there who are listening to this show who vehemently disagree with everything we talk about with regard to politics and policy and whatnot. But we're all sitting here going, I would beat up a cheese curd taco right now.
Right,
I would,
right.
We'd get together and we could cheers those and be like, I don't care who you voted for. This is delicious. And I just imagine people from like, because one of the things we were talking about is that the EAA hosts a global audience at the AirVenture event. And I just want to imagine someone from Paris or
right.
Germany walking up and being like, what is this thing? And just enjoying what will be the greatest creation of our lifetime, which is the cheese curd taco.
Guys, it's been great traveling with you. This is just day one. Tomorrow, we're both going to be doing our show as a Butternut.
Yes.
Tune in tomorrow from 9 until 11 for Matt and Aaron Air with Jane and Greg. Going to be at an artisan studio tomorrow.
Yes, very excited about that. A Fanatical Fish Gallery.
Correct.
In Butternut. And so if you're around, stop by. We have Kringle.
We had Kringle, absolutely.
Many
thanks for the people that made this show, including our friend Todd Michaels, who did the groundwork, Luke Mathers, who finished up the groundwork. We appreciate them. Also, many thanks to Zomers back at the studio, Jane and Greg for being great travel partners and hosts as well. Join them tomorrow at 9 o'clock. And, of course, all of you for listening. And Dick,
Dick Dupinsky.
Thank you very much. You put all this together.
Got to finish that with that last name.
Yeah, absolutely. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. Stay safe from the storms today. Until tomorrow for Butternut, Todd Allball saying, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, keep on banging your drum and keep fighting out there. We'll see you tomorrow from Butternut. For Jane, Greg, I'm Todd and Zomers. Take care.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. House lawmakers taking up a cryptocurrency package after 12 Republicans joined Democrats yesterday to block it from advancing. President Trump spoke to holdouts and has their support. ABC's Jay O'Brien has more.
Supporters championing these overall crypto bills as first of their kind, but there are concerns that one of the bills regulating a digital asset called stablecoins doesn't go far enough in regulating an often volatile industry. And Democrats point to the fact that President Trump, whose family business is building an empire on cryptocurrency, could personally benefit from the bill because a firm with ties to the Trump family recently launched its own stablecoin.
Amtrak says it's working to fix a system-wide IT outage, leaving the rail service unable to process reservations through digital and kiosk channels. Customers, though, can still book at Amtrak station or by phone. On Wall Street, stocks ended up boosted by President Trump's comments that he likely will not fire Fed Chair Jerome Powell. This is ABC News.